Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra, a series sponsored by the Orthodox Union, publicized via OU.org, in which we study one aliyah of Parshat HaShavua each day and complete our study at the end of the week. This week we are, of course, reading Parashat Toldot, and we're going to take a look at the very last few psukim, which are the last aliyah, the aliyah shvi'i, which begins in chapter 28, verse 5, Perkavchet Pasukei of Breshit. Vayishlach Yitzchak et Yaakov. So this is after Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yaakov, which is the bracha of Avraham. He gave that bracha to Yaakov. Vayelech Padan Aram. He went exactly to where his parents told him to go, to Padan Aram. Elavan ben Betuel ha'arami. Achirivka, Em Yaakov Esav. There's a very convoluted identity here. He's going to Lavan, who is the son of Betuel. And again, the word Arami, which we saw at the very beginning of our parsha, and it works as beautiful bookends to the parsha, that Betuel is Ha'arami, just like Achot Lavan Ha'arami, at the beginning of the parsha. Achirivka, who is Lavan, Achirivka, which is an awkward statement, because Lavan ben Betuel normally is the way someone is presented. Why is he Achi Rivka? So there's a little bit to say about that, we'll suggest at the end. Eim Yaakov ve'Esav. So now, who's Rivka? The mother of Yaakov and Esav. Who is Lavan? He's ben Betuel, who is Rivka's brother. Now, in the meantime, Vayar Esav Kerach Yitzchak et Yaakov, v'shilach oto Padan Aram. So Esav saw what was going on. He saw what Yitzchak saw, which was that Yaakov was sent away in order to marry a wife, not to be spared from Esav, because Esav didn't see that in himself. Matter of fact, by this time, it's entirely possible that Esav calmed down, and it's also entirely possible that Rivka had other plans here, and her intent really was to get Yaakov to go to Padan Aram, as she told Yitzchak, to marry one of her nieces. It ended up being two of her nieces, in Padan Aram, and that the catalyst for it, perhaps, was Esav's anger. In any case, Esav saw this, and he saw that Yaakov had been sent in order to marry a wife. And he saw that the blessing given to Yaakov, was somehow associated with not marrying a local Canaanite girl. Now, Esav had married two Canaanite girls. All right, so now, Yaakov, and this seems to be sort of backstepping in the story, Yaakov obeyed his father and his mother, which means he obeyed his father to go get a wife, and he obeyed his mother to run away, and he went to Padan Aram, and Vayari Sav, Kirot Penot Kanan, Bnei Yitzchak Aviv. So that's Vayishma Yaakov and Vayari Sav. Why is that? Well, on a somewhat homiletic level, it's because Yaakov is now leaving, and all he will have is Shmuot. Esav is there, so he's going to be able to see. Of course, that's not what it means. Vayishma Yaakov al Aviv means he obeyed them. And Esav, in the meantime, saw that his wives, who were Benor Kanan, did not find favor in Yitzchak's eyes. That was what was important to him. So Vayelech Esav al Yishmael. So Esav went to Yishmael, to his uncle. Vayikach et Machalat bat Yishmael ben Avraham. An important note is that even though he's marrying someone who lives somewhat locally, perhaps, we're not sure where Yishmael is living at the time, where Yishmael's family is living at the time, but he ends up marrying a daughter of Yishmael, Achot Nevayot al Nashav lo Lisha. So he didn't divorce the other women, but in addition to his other wives, he married Machalat, and seems to be something of an awkward attempt to fix things, is that he continued to be married to the Kanani women, but he took another wife that he thought would find more favor in the eyes of his parents, because this is a member of the family, Yishmael's daughter, Machalat. And later on, at the end of Parshat Vayishlach, we will see the children of each one of his wives, of Basmat and Olivama, and of Machalat. Now, just one comment about the way that this parasha ends. And again, there is an emphasis on Aram. There's an emphasis on Lavan Harami, and Lavan's name continually comes up, even though he's really not a player here. He certainly doesn't make a real appearance in the parasha. He's mentioned at the beginning as being Rivka's brother. He's mentioned here as being the father of Yaakov's future wives, but we haven't met them yet. And again, as being Rivka's brother and of being the son of Betuel. But the Sabraket Harami, which comes up, and Padan Aram, comes up numerous times here, both at the beginning of the Parsha and at the end of the Parsha. And there is a flavor that's played with the Midrash on the word Arami as Ramai, as deceptive. And after all, where did the deception come into the family that led to the entire scene that caused Yaakov to have to leave? It was specifically from Rivka, who is Achot Lavan. Again, that connection that Rivka brought this cleverness, shall we say, into the family that led Yaakov to deceive his father and to anger his brother, that necessitated him leaving. And perhaps there's another agenda here. Not only must Yaakov go back to Aram because the local girls are really unacceptable, but there's another piece to it, is now that you have tasted from this bit of deception, you're going to have to go meet somebody who is a master deceiver and understand how dangerous that is, and perhaps that's the necessary rehabilitation, and perhaps indeed Yaakov's 20 years in Aram are a way of removing the effects of some of the activities in which he had to be engaged in this parsha, but certainly left a mark. Okay, we'll pause at this point and wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom, and I've very much enjoyed sharing observations about Parshat Toldot, and we'll meet again in a number of weeks on Shnayim Mikra. Everybody should have a great Shabbos.